This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. It's the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
Good morning, everybody, and happy Black Friday to you. You're getting a dressed down version of Inside the Paint on my end. We were at the in-laws' house and just hanging out with you on this Black Friday. Ira Winterman is on the road, as always, grinding. So he'll be the info guy for this show.
First of all, Clay, I want to start actually off topic, since we're going to hit on topic for plenty of the rest of the hour here on Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint. And I have a question for you.
Sure.
Almost everything we ate on Thanksgiving can also be part of a traditional menu. Certainly can have a turkey dinner anytime. We all can eat our mashed potatoes. We all can have our yams, cornbread, mac cheese, or whatever. Why is stuffing only a one-day thing? And I know people are down in stuffing. It's just a bunch of ripped apart bread that you get all moist and baked or whatever, and that's fine.
Wait, who's on stuffing?
Here's my stuffing question. Let me put it to you this way, okay, Clay? When have you eaten stuffing except on Thanksgiving? Why do we compartmentalize stuffing as a one-day event when everything else on the table yesterday you could have on a Thursday or a Wednesday in August or September or February or May? What's the deal with stuffing? Why is stuffing relegated? Why is stuffing only get one day? What's up with that?
Well, so first, you're asking the wrong guy, because I will go and get a box of stovetop from the grocery store and just make it whenever. I love stuffing. It is my favorite part of a meal. And this is a true story. It's funny you asked this question. So we're at my wife's family's house, so my in-law's house, which means like you can't ask the questions always that might rattle cages a little bit. Like you want to be as buttoned up and as polite as you can. So I'm like wandering around the kitchen trying to survey what's coming up, and I don't see stuffing. And so like I walk out to my wife, who's out by my in-law's pool, and I said, we got a problem. There's no stuffing here. And she goes, well, I thought it was on the list. And like, I'm sad. I am actually sitting there like,
wow.
All right, how do I put on the good face through this and pretend like the mashed potatoes and the turkey make up for it? And then I noticed that there was one last pan with foil over the top that I hadn't been able to investigate yet, that I hadn't seen. And I lift up the foil and I see that it's stuffing. And then I walk back out and I whisper to my wife, crisis averted. So we're good. So to your question, you're asking the wrong guy, because I'll eat it at any point of the year. But I think it kind of emphasizes your question. Why do we not as a society eat it more? So, feel free to drop your heat questions, but your food questions, I think, are more pertinent today in the chat right now as we're going along here. And by the way, please make sure to hit the like button. That does us a huge favor. And all your questions, all that, we like to keep this interactive. So, Ira, how do you do Thanksgiving when you're on the road, by the way? I wanted to know that.
Honestly, I don't. We always delay it. I mean, on this trip, actually, what I did is I flew back yesterday. I'm going to take my mom out today. My family's up in Jersey with my in-laws. So I told my mom, go to your friend's house yesterday. I'll take care of you today. After the show, I'm going to take her out for lunch. So we'll do it delayed. The one thing when you've been on the road for 34 years is the family understands there's a lot of time shifting for holidays, whether it's birthdays, anniversaries, or other things. Invariably, my wife will immediately look at the schedule, see February 14th is not a home game, not be very happy. And let's face it, Clay, you know the same thing in Local 10. You might be able to say, hey, we have a special thing. We have my daughter's birthday. I need this day off, my anniversary, even Christmas, something else. You can't pull you can't pull the Valentine's Day card. You can't say, you know what? I cannot work. That is a non-starter as far as covering the Heat. I know they've got a big game back in Toronto for Kyle's return, but I can't do it. So there's certain things I think my wife has to be as on board as me. True story. I'm not a pathetic person, but I can play one in this role every now and then. So I come back late yesterday from Minnesota. That actually, Delta has a nonstop flight from Minneapolis every day except Thanksgiving.
Oh.
So when I called Delta, I said, I want to take the 9 o'clock nonstop. They say it does not operate on Thanksgiving. So I got back late last night. My wife, who's just the greatest ever, said, don't worry, I got you covered. Open the freezer. Yep. Stouffer's turkey dinner in there. So
nice.
I was the guy who ate the TV dinner for Thanksgiving, make it up with my mom today, make it up with my family down the road. But you know what? 34 years on the road. And it literally at the airport, Clay, yesterday was like the walk of the pathetic people. And the people I felt the worst for, Minneapolis airport yesterday, there was a flight delayed to LA, first for 2 hours and then for 4 hours. Well, with the time change, you make 2 hours up going west, even from Minneapolis. So I'm sure there were plenty of people who were going to go out there, still wind up in LA by noon or so and have their Thanksgiving. And then they tell them the flight doesn't leave till five. And what do? They walk around with a cart of chips and cheese nips to try to make up for the whole thing. So you know what? All in all, I'm not complaining about my lot in life, but it was me and a bunch of sad people connecting through Atlanta yesterday.
So we're not going to complain about what we've seen from the Heat so far this season, but I think there are some, I don't know if we go as far as to say concerns, but some things that they've got to get fixed. And, I want to start with one because somebody asked this question during the chat. I think Sidal asked this, but I want to get your thoughts on this because it's something that's become a thing on social media as well. What are you seeing with Bam Adebayo? Like, is there a common theme? Because he starts off beginning of the year, and I think you're starting to see some of the things that we had heard he was working on, and he looks a lot more aggressive. And then I think as time has gone on, he's looking a little bit more like he's showing some of the flashes of some of the things that we saw last year and the year before. And people are asking, why isn't he being as aggressive? And is this, Ira, I want to get your take on this. And maybe this is info based. Maybe this is you seeing him up close. Do you think the knee is playing a role in some of what we're seeing right now? Is there a lack of explosiveness there? Is there something that you're noticing with Bam in some of these struggles? It's a common theme.
Yeah, there's two parts to that, Clay. And the first part is this. The Heat are almost anti-injury. I mean, they can't pretend they don't happen. But there became a point when I was covering this team along the way in recent years where the team even came over to us and said, stop asking about the question. Stop harping on that. Pat Riley can't stand another story about injuries. Focus on who was there instead of who is not there and go in that direction instead. So the Heat downplay it. Which is fine, and I think that's professional not to complain. Just like you, oh, work was tough. I was sick today. The kids were ill. It was a tough day. We all have our
lives. There was no stuffing.
Or no stuffing until I found it in the last container. But this is the kind of thing Eric Spoelstra is very honest about. It says he needs some time off. He needs to rest it. They're holding him out of shoot-around. They hold him out of the occasional game, but they can't give him probably the 2 weeks. What we were told was really fascinating when they said he does his pregame workout with Malik Allen, and only then does he go and see the trainer, and they actually measure his knee for the degree of swelling to see if he could play. So number one, it's real. Number two, they're downplaying it, and Bam is downplaying it. This is not a whiner. This is not a, oh, my aching knee, because NBA, everyone has some sort of tendonitis. Everyone has an issue. So I think you're spot on there that the knee is an issue. They're downplaying it. I think that's sort of, a good thing that he's not making excuses. We can't stand excuses, in any line of work. Number two is the player combinations. Bam used to be out there in a lineup where there was him and Jimmy as sort of the scorers, and that's it. Goran Dragic would play off the bench, the offensive-minded point guard. Well, all of a sudden now you have Kyle Lowry in that mix in the first five. I think Bam can be a little bit too deferential and always has been. And that's been a good thing to this point. But if he wants to take the next step, then I think Bam Adebayo needs to have that aggression. Sometimes you see early and then it fades away later in games. I mean, last game, let's face it, he was 4 of 11 from the free throw line in the first half. You get those points. He's an 82% free throw shooter going into that game. There's a completely different complexion going into the third and fourth quarters of that game. You have a little bit more of a comfort zone. But then again, the other part of this is when you and I were talking at the start of the season and we said, there's a chance that he could have three All-Stars with Jimmy, with Kyle, with Bam. Bam's not playing at All-Star level right now. Probably if you and I had to reorder the Heat's All-Star candidates, it'd probably be Jimmy Butler number one or Tyler Hero number one. Kyle Lowry has been okay, has not been great. Bam has just been a guy. They coalesce and work together mostly. But Bam is not playing at the elite level right now. I think the knee has a lot to do with that. I think the adjustment to a different type of lineup, also with Jimmy scoring more and not being as much of a facilitator, also has had Bam step back. Bam's got to stop being deferential. He has to go back into attack mode. We saw how much attack mode mattered in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards and guys who were aggressive and playing with aggression.
And just to be clear here, we're not sitting here saying that we're not overreacting to the first part of the season and saying Tyler Hero is a better overall player than Bam Adebayo. But I saw some Twitter poll like who has a higher ceiling, Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo. Let's slow down with that. That's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is in the roles that they are currently given on this team and how it manifests itself relative to all-star voting and frankly value to the team right now, based on how they are currently playing, Tyler Hero saved them. He won them the game in Detroit. He was the only reason why they were in the game in Indiana earlier this year. You can pick out other games where he's come in and they don't win ball games unless he's on the floor. So just to make that distinction there, nobody's sitting here saying that Tyler Hero is a better overall player than Bam. But over the last few weeks, you can easily make the case that he has been the more valuable player on the team. And that's what I'm kind of searching for reasons why, because I don't think we're saying that as much relative to Tyler Hero and how well he's playing, because I think we all know that. It's where is this regression for Bam and where is that coming from? And I want to hit on something you just said, Ira. And we got a lot to get to, by the way. We're going to talk about the upcoming schedule. I want to talk about that Minnesota game and how much did emotion kind of play a role in that. But the Bam thing is something that because you see it constantly as a theme, I wanted to hit on at the top of the show here. You mentioned with Bam, he's not somebody who's going to complain about anything. He's not going to make excuses. I will say, and I can't stand it when people do this, so I'm going to do something that I myself can't stand. So there's my thing I'm going to put out there first. I've got a bad knee. I've got tendonitis that flares up a lot there. I clearly don't have to go out and perform at the level that these professional athletes do. But I will say that when it flares up, you feel like you can't move. You feel like there are certain things that your knee can't do. So again, it's not a matter of, oh, we can't play through the pain. Oh, we can't do this. Oh, we can't do that. No, it's the knee kind of, it helps the entire body function on some level. So
hey, Clay, if I can interrupt you for 1 second before you continue that thought, and someone like who has a bad knee, like you knows this, especially cold weather.
That's a great point. Well, yes.
It was 12 degrees. I know it was 12 degrees because I had to walk back to my hotel. It was 12 degrees in Minneapolis. On a lot of the arenas we go in now, and again, folks, we're not making excuses. We're just trying to point things out to you. A lot of the arenas we go to now also are ice arenas, like when we went to Detroit. So you have the ice under the surface. Hockey has started also. That affects it. There are some frigid buildings we go in. I mean, I've learned the trick over the year is the double sock trick. So when you're sitting on the floor in these buildings, you're not absolutely freezing. So like my wife always goes to me, why are you putting on a pair of socks under your socks? I go, hey, I'm just getting ready for when I go to Detroit and Chicago and places like that. So just to get back to your point, not only is it a knee, but it's a knee in one, weather, and also, Clay, as someone who deals with it, traveling in a pressurized cabin in an airplane also. Sometimes they even tell you don't travel when you have those issues.
And so I'm glad you brought that up, because I was about to say when you mentioned the cold weather, with me, it's not even necessarily about how cold it gets. It's there are some mornings I can wake up and I can say, oh, we got a cold front. The pressure's changed in the weather because I can feel it and I can get up. So again, I'm not trying to compare myself at all to that, but I can see where as a professional athlete, where you have to be at your best. And there are certain things that, like if you're a professional athlete, your body's a fine-tuned machine. And if you can tell, if it feels like you can't move a certain direction, everything's going to be off. And I saw somebody mention that even Bam's free throws and even some of the jump shots are off. Look, he's not going to make excuses, but I can see a world where if you're Bam and if your leg feels like you're not getting that sort of explosiveness, and these guys are creatures of habit. I mean, the stroke is what it is, and you're used to getting a certain level of explosiveness. So that's something to me, Ira, that, and again, this is why I bring it up. I would almost look at resting him for a while. I would almost look at putting him on the shelf for a few weeks, and only because I think we've seen what this Heat team is. I think we've seen that when everybody is healthy and when everybody is clicking, that they're good enough. And I do think there's some things they got to fix and some things that you mentioned in the crossover, but I think they're good enough. I'm confident that if they have everybody healthy at the end of it, but Ira, I don't want Bam dealing with this all year. And I especially don't want him dealing with this in April, in May, potentially in June. I want to see Bam healthy, and I want to see him go out there and be the Bam Adebayo that we all know that he can be.
Yeah, that's some really good points. And again, you have to find that spot in the schedule. And Clay, based on the fact they're 6-1 at home and 6-6 on the road, I know Heat fans do not want to hear that. Maybe you do that for home games. Maybe you do that when you already have your built-in comfort zone anyway, and you go in that direction, and maybe you sit him out at home so he's not traveling. He's not dealing with this in hotels. He's taking care of it. And maybe part B of this is this. Maybe you only can do that when Markieff Morris comes back.
That's a great
because then you have another guy for the power rotation. Right now, you'd be playing, you'd start with Dwayne Dedman, but then you'd probably go to Omer Yurtseven. And let's face it, you know, wonderful prospect, but not ready at the moment. But if you have Markieff Morris back, then all of a sudden you could start Dedman. You could play PJ Tucker up. You could bring in Markieff Morris. He's played some center. He can play big. He's a physical guy, and you can do that. But without Markieff, all of a sudden that power rotation, unless you go back to the Udonis Haslam uneven minutes, you wind up in that situation. So maybe it is as simple as that. I think, and we'll talk about this later because it's juicy stuff, if Markieff Morris comes back against Denver and Jokic on Monday, then you can move your rotation a little. It's interesting. For all the excuses or stuff we're talking about of why the Heat are struggling, don't understate the Markieff Morris absence. We're talking a prime top eight rotation player will have missed 10 games by the time he misses Saturday in Chicago, tomorrow in Chicago. I think that's a factor also. Again, not an excuse. Pat Riley will not tolerate excuses, but a reality.
A reality. And you're talking about somebody in the front court when you're already dealing with Bam fighting through this. And, you know, so I think absolutely there's some ways to see how this would change. Okay, getting some of the questions here. By the way, thank you for dropping these questions. It's really helpful for us. Clemente says, it's okay to criticize players, and Bam can't be just okay. He needs to be better for our team because we're not going to beat teams like the Warriors or Denver or Bucks that have true centers unless he is. And by the way, I agree 100%. And this is where it's hard because you can criticize the play of the player. But I also think there are valid reasons why he's not playing the way that he needs to play in order for this team to be what they have to be. And so I agree with you. He's not himself. He's not playing at the level that he needs to play at. How do you get him to that level? What is the solution? And, you know, based on what I've seen, it just feels to me like he's just not himself out there. And so I wanted to ask you, what are you seeing with the knee injury? And what are you hearing? And I found that fascinating, what you just said, that he goes out there and works out with Malik Allen, and then they measure the level of swelling around the knee. That's nuts to me. Okay, one more before we get to break here. Who was it that brought this up? Start Pup said, we wouldn't be having this conversation if Duncan were hitting the shots like he's supposed to. We're only losing by three in every game. I mean, yeah, look, Duncan has certainly struggled. And, you know, he's had a couple of games. He basically, they don't win the game in Utah if he isn't hitting like he is. So, but yeah, I mean, there is a world where this Heat team can get to a different level. I'm hesitant to blame him at this point when we know what the issue is there. I'm more curious about, like with Bam, why are we not seeing it? Daryl says people need to stop making excuses for Bam. Even before he got injured, he would still have games where he wouldn't show up. No, this year we saw a new Bam early in the season. But then something happened on the West Coast trip, and I think it may have been in L.A., and then you could tell that something just wasn't right with the knee. So, yeah, you're right. That was the question about Bam before. But this year, we hadn't seen that Bam. We hadn't seen Bam. He had been showing the aggression. He had been showing kind of what everybody had been asking him, Ira. And so that's why I want to put this to you as somebody who's really close to the team. And that's where I found it interesting, all the things that you've been saying about what's been different since then.
Yeah, and again, I think it's as simple as an injury they're not talking about, they're downplaying, but that's why, you know, Clay, we live on these injury reports, you know, every half hour through the day to see what Bam's going to be listed for the current game. Honestly, I'm sitting here on a Friday waiting to see what the injury report is for Saturday in Chicago, and again, Chicago's playing a back-to-back. They're in Orlando Friday night on tonight, so how are they going to approach it? And I think the Heat's reactive there also, but I think you want your roster whole because it's easier to do stuff. Hey, maybe Victor Oladipo is only a month away. He comes back, you have more of a guard-oriented attack. You could play a big, rebounding big like Dedman, go in a different direction. Bam gets his vacation there. So I will talk to Bam. I will ask him when he's buying that plane ticket to Cabo, and then we'll know from there when he's going to take his time.
All right, so that's enough about Bam for now. I want to get into what we saw in Minnesota, and I want to know if this is a bigger question with the Heat, Ira. Is this Heat team too emotional? We're going to get to that on the other side right here on Inside the Paint.
Reach out to Ira and Clay. Drop them an email at insidethepaint@yahoo.com. Chime in on the YouTube chat board. You're listening to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show. When you need your warehouse looking good while staying efficient, there's only one place to find the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack? Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Sports fans love a place with great food, cold drinks, and TVs everywhere. That's why sports fans love Sports Grill and their 7 amazing locations. Check out the Bird Road location at 11481 Southwest 40th Street in the back corner of the West Bird Shopping Center. Sports Grill is also now offering some great employment opportunities. All kinds of positions are now available, from kitchen to hosting. Call for more information at 305-485-8845. From wraps to salads to amazingly delicious specialty dishes, Sports Grill is the home to the legendary special Grilled Wings. Since 1987, Sports Grill, good food, good drink, and good friends.
There's no need to drive around South Florida wasting valuable time looking for a new or certified pre-owned Acura. Go to the number one volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines. Purchase with pace and space in a dealership tailored to your needs. From home buying to providing that personal touch, contact the 2020 Satisfaction Award winner, Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines, 888-776-5123. That's 888-776-5123. Or visit them at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines. If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CF, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at caneswear.com or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
When you're ready to purchase a new home loan or refinance the one you have, American Dream Lending will make sure your loan experience is easy with fast approvals and quick closings. With many loan programs and competitive rates, now is the time to turn your dreams into reality. Ask about special financing for veterans. They never charge an application fee, and you will work directly with one of their experienced loan professionals. Stop dreaming and contact American Dream Lending today, 786-802-1727. Or online at adreamlending.com. Welcome back to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint program with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro. Let's get back to the guys that just updated their email from Prodigy to AOL. Here's Ira and Clay.
Welcome back Inside the Paint. Ira Winderman is getting set to be on the road with the Heat and getting set for the big game coming up against the Chicago Bulls. And Ira, I want to talk about what we saw over this past week, and in particular the game in Minnesota and the game in Detroit. It felt like a team, it was one of those games where you're watching the Heat and you're just kind of waiting for them to wake up. Mm-hmm. And they didn't until Tyler Hero went out there and kind of saved their bacon a little bit in the second half. The Minnesota game was one where you're watching it early on, you're like, okay, well, they're going to be fine. You could tell that they're the more polished team. They're not the athletic team that Minnesota is. And then something started turning there in the third quarter. And it was a combination from what I saw, Ira, of, you said, Minnesota being the more athletic team. They were able to, when Miami had some holes, some lanes, they were able to be explosive enough to exploit that. You have a big man, a really versatile big man in Karl Anthony Towns. Anthony Edwards, I think, just, I mean, energized the entire world, much less just that arena, by the dunk that apparently wasn't because of the offensive foul call. And yet, Ira, the thing that I came away kind of scratching my head a little bit was Jimmy Butler was challenged in that game. Anthony Edwards gets in his face. You have the entire arena chanting about apparently chanting about a certain broadcaster and some connection to Jimmy Butler, and you know, feel free to go and search that yourself. But I mean, it was one of those things where if you're Jimmy Butler, like you're being challenged out there, and it's the one thing that Jimmy Butler, we've always seen him respond to. And then Ira, he goes out there in the fourth quarter, he puts up a goose egg. It was, I mean, you look at his stat sheet in the fourth quarter, no points. Again, one assist, and that was it. That was the only thing you could see. So he gets challenged, and then all of a sudden, he does nothing in the fourth quarter. So Ira, I ask you this. Did the Heat let their emotions get the best of them in that game to where the combination of the officiating, which I understand, you weren't getting the calls that you wanted, Minnesota being more physical and more athletic and pushing you around, was that a case of them being overly emotional, or did they not just meet the level of emotion that Minnesota was putting out there and do the things that they needed to do in order to win that game? What did you see?
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to tie that into another name, Clay, and that's Kyle Lowry, and even what he told us. And he said, look, if I didn't have those five fouls and I was out there, it wouldn't have got that emotional because we still would have had the lead and they wouldn't have been able to gain that momentum. So again, it's a different Jimmy Butler this year. Jimmy Butler was Jimmy create your own shot Butler this year, last season, sort of do it on your own. However, this season, he even said, I have more of a scoring bent. Kyle's getting me in the right position. I'm able to play a little bit more in that direction. I think when Kyle was off the floor, again, Gabe Vincent statistically had a good game. I think Gabe Vincent defensively competed, but he's not a setup man. He's not a point guard who gets you in the right spots. And this is something, and I wrote it in my Winderman's View blog after the game, another moment when they're without Kyle and they have no direction. So when you have no direction, all of a sudden is Jimmy forcing shots sort of out of his wheelhouse because he's been moved out of there, Clay. So all of a sudden, when you are playing 19, 18 games in a certain style, unlike the last couple of seasons, more as a scorer, playing off of Kyle Lowry and Kyle's not there, you're in trouble. Again, this goes back to a common theme on our Palette Rock City inside the paint shows, and it's this. They don't have another setup man point guard. Gabe Vincent played his best ball in that game, Clay, when he was playing alongside Kyle Lowry, mm-hmm. when he's able to set up more in his shooting rhythm for his three-pointers. So I think what happened to Jimmy was a function of they have offense A with Kyle Lowry, pretty good offense. They have offense B without Kyle Lowry, pretty not good offense. And I think Jimmy got caught up in that, and his shooting spots and his driving lanes and all that weren't there because Kyle wasn't setting him up. I think that he'd need to have a plan B. I've said the plan B is bringing in another experienced playmaker. The Heat have said their plan B is going back to Jimmy facilitating or going back to Bam facilitating. I contend it's hard to flip the switch. And Clay, that might have been the best example. Look at where the Heat were with Kyle Lowry in that game. They had built a 12-point lead. They had built a 7-point lead. They were in good shape all these losses, even in Washington. This team has been leading late in all these games. But it's just a matter of closing them. I don't know if the Heat can close without Kyle Lowry. I love having a player that's that important to your team. It means he's meaningful. It mm-hmm. means the acquisition was the right one. But there has to be a plan B. You're talking about giving Bam Adebayo time off because of the knee. I'm saying Kyle Lowry's 35. He's going to need his own time off. And I don't see that plan B. It's really weird. They're kind of rudderless without Kyle Lowry. The entire game changed on that offensive foul, the illegal screen they called on Kyle. Then it got to the point where when Kyle got his sixth foul, which was a foul, Eric Spoelstra challenged on the hope and a prayer that maybe there'd be some video angle that would save him. So he knew how important it was. Remember, when Kyle went out with the sixth foul, it was a three-point game. So in theory, it was going to go right to the finish. Might have been an out-of-bounds call, might have been a block charge, but Eric Spoelstra used his challenge there because he realized none of that would matter as much as keeping Kyle in the game. There's just not a plan B there. Again, I know, folks, this is not Palette Rack City from a week or two or three or 4 weeks ago, but like I've said, every other player on this roster, to a degree, starter at least, is replaceable in that. If Bam goes out, okay, you can play Dwayne Dedmon. If P.J. Tucker's not available, when he's healthy, you have Markieff Morris. If Duncan Robinson's not making shots, Max Strus can make shots. If Tyler Hero is not playing, perhaps you're getting a little bit more from a Gabe Vincent or someone like that. There's no playmaking replacement for Kyle Lowry on this roster, and it showed at the end of the game. So you're looking at Jimmy Butler not scoring. I'm looking at no one there helping setting Jimmy Butler up for something more than those crappy jumpers he wound up settling for, not even getting to the foul line.
And that's a great point. And regardless of what it is, so what you're saying, and I think this kind of answers the question that I had out there. You can look at the emotions of that game. You can look at the swings and the fact that the Heat are getting – I mean, the Heat's manhood was challenged. I mean, you had Anthony Edwards getting in Jimmy Butler's face and Jimmy barking back at him or staring him down and getting back in his face and all that. But none of that means anything if you don't perform in the fourth quarter. So it was like – it was two different elements is what you're saying. The emotion was one part of it. But then the strategic element of not having Kyle Lowry out there and not having a viable solution when he's not out there. So it's not so much that the emotion overtook them. It's that, hey, when Lowry is out, it's a strategic thing where the drop-off is so significant in their play. And Ira, look, all you have to do is you go back to the game they lost in Indiana. They were lost the entire game offensively. And you mentioned the other night, it was more staggering because you saw it in game where Kyle Lowry is in, things are clicking, he goes out and they lose the game. So, you know, I think that's something that we watch for the rest of the year. And Ira, I've said this, and I think I've said this since before the season started, the concerns about this Heat team, I think our best case scenario for this team has been validated in that when everything is clicking, and when everybody is healthy and you hope that they're that way come playoff time, they can beat anybody. They can absolutely beat anybody. And I would contend that they are contenders when they're all healthy. And
they're tied for second place in the East. It's the sky is not falling, people. They just had a rough loss against a streaking team that happens in the NBA. They have a 6-1 home record. Clay, what this means more than anything is get a damn top four seed because you are so much better at home, or at least are showing it at the moment, that's something you absolutely should strive for. We've spoken about just avoid a top, you know, 7 seed or 8 seed and being in the play-in, but you can see how home court is mattering also. And again, in all these bad, quote, bad road losses, they're leading in the fourth quarter. They've shown enough through 36, 38, 40, 42 minutes that they can play with all these teams. They're not just bringing it home at the finish on the road, and that's the next step for this team also.
And by the way, Ira, I would contend that it's been one of my concerns for a while. Concern isn't the right word, but I need to see this team win a game in that scenario. And again, and I'm not talking about like the game against Utah where like you're leading by a lot in the third, fourth quarter, and then they chip away, and then all of a sudden you have to get a defensive stop at the end. I want to see this team go out there and win one of those games where it's a back and forth, the lead changes hands in the last 2 minutes a number of times, and then you're having to come up with a number of different late game plays that you succeed in executing and you get the shots that you want and you win the ball game. We haven't seen that yet, but I think that's a different discussion.
And that was the end of the game in Washington on Saturday when Jimmy Butler dribbled to nothing at the end of the game and they wound up with nothing and it took a heave by Bam with 0.2 of a second to hit the back iron. They had their chances in that game. That was closing time. That was clutch time, and they didn't answer the bell in that one. You're absolutely correct.
And by the way, I would argue in that game, too, that game did not bother me as much as the Minnesota game, because the Washington game, I want to be honest, when the refs are doing a terrible job, whatever, that Washington game, Ira, there were points in that fourth quarter where they let a lot of Washington stuff go. I remember there was one play distinctly where the ball's rolling at half court. Jimmy Butler would have had a clear, fast break the other way. Bradley Beal dives and swipes and takes out Jimmy's foot, knocks him on the ground. The refs don't call anything. And it was like, okay, that one, I remember at the end of that game and just feeling like, man, that stunk that they lost that one.
And here's another one for Angry Media Man, since we're going to play that role until we go out in this segment right here. I don't care. I don't give a rat's butt what the NBA said on the Spencer Dinwiddie travel.
Oh, yeah. Give me a break.
You're talking 5 steps. You're talking left, right, left on the pivot foot. I mean, Ruth Riley Hunter on the Heat postgame show pointed it out, and she doesn't make excuses. She's a former player. She knows you're not going to get all the calls. But to me, if that wasn't the most egregious travel in the first place, I mean, that's all we did was ask people in the postgame about that. And then for the NBA to come out and say he never had the gather. So literally, if I get this correct, Clay, and I'm not a referee, but I play one on the Pallet Rack City inside the paint. If I go down the court and juggle the ball, I never have to dribble it, and I can keep running because I've never had the gather. Then he winds up changing his pivot foot, but they're saying the change of the pivot foot was on the pass. There was like 5 things you could dissect on that play. Again, It's a one-point game heat ball if they call the travel. Instead, Kuzma to the line, two free throws, a three-point game. Matter of fact, I'm not sure, Clay, and we can actually track this on our weekly shows here at Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint. I'm not sure I'm going to see a more egregious call that I disagree with the NBA ruling than that travel. I bet you if you put Spencer Dinwiddie on the lie detector and said, okay, sit there, answer this question. Did you travel? I traveled. I admit it. Of course he traveled.
And of course, look, we're not sitting here complaining. It does no good to sit here and complain about officiating, you know, days after the fact.
Right.
The point I'm trying to make is that game didn't concern me that much. You had just beat them the night before in Milwaukee,
You beat them on Thursday, lost on Saturday, right?
Yeah, and so, like, that game didn't concern me as much. The outing in Detroit, I'm sitting there like, what? They need to wake up. That's okay. It's one game. They'll be fine. The game in Minnesota was where you start to wonder, okay, what are the answers to this? And I think you've given some very valid answers to what we saw in that game. And now they get a chance coming up against Chicago to really make a statement. We'll get to that game coming up in the last segment here. But getting some of the questions here, Daryl, as far as the game against the Wolves, part of being a team is stepping up if your main guys are out and in foul trouble. This is when Bam and others need to do more. Look, I think, and again, Daryl, I know you're staying on this point about Bam. Bam's not himself right now. And, like, he's not going to make excuses. The team's not going to make excuses. But the guy's going out there, and he's giving everything that he's got. He's just not the mobility is not what it needs to be right now, which means you're either going to get a lesser Bam because he's physically not where he needs to be, or you need to rest the guy. And so that's where I think Ira's point about they were a rudderless ship when Kyle Lowry went out of that game. To me, that was the bigger point there. Getting some of these start pups. I think a John Wall buyout would help out a lot. And Ira, we've gone through the machinations of this on previous episodes of this show, but yes, a buyout would help a lot. The Heat also have to get on the other side to where they would be able to afford without going into the tax, or they have to just decide we're going to go all in and right. We're willing to go into the tax for this team. But Ira, I would wonder, and you tell me if there's any sense of this, I would wonder if they're starting to see that their solution of making Jimmy do more facilitating when Kyle's out, making Bam do more facilitating when Kyle's out, do you think there's a sense that they're starting to see that that may not be the best solution for this team moving forward?
I don't. Matter of fact, I think the opposite. I think maybe that's something they get to in practice. Maybe they sort of have Kyle practice and non-Kyle practice and say, hey, we're mature enough. We're professionals. We should be able to adjust just like a football team adjusts between the running and the passing game if they have to, or just their defense between blitzing and non-blitzing. Maybe they need to have first 30 minutes Kyle practice, second 30 minutes non-Kyle practice, and have both of those games in there and say, okay, today we're playing 21-22 ball. Now we're going to try some, you know, 2019-2020 ball and just go in that direction. Maybe that's what they need to do also. So they have both at their disposal. Again, like we mentioned in the crosstalk with Big O at the top of the show, is maybe you need to have more than one way to win once opponents start doing the scatter report and know who you are, or else opponents are going to wait till Kyle's out and boom, try to seize the moment there.
But by the way, that's what good teams do. And that's what great teams do. And I will say this, I'm not saying that this team isn't a great team, but what I'm saying is they're still figuring themselves out.
Sure.
And they're still, they need to figure out what that way is.
At the quarter pole. Absolutely. They're the quarter pole of the season. Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to get to the upcoming schedule coming up, Ira, because this is a big game coming up in Chicago. And it's one of those where the Heat have risen to the occasion in some of these measuring stick games so far this year, which makes you feel good about what the playoffs could look like at this point. Ira, we're going to break down this game and what we expect to see from the Heat coming up in Chicago. That's coming up next right here on Inside the Paint.
You're listening to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a good rack? Pallet Rack City. When you need your warehouse looking good while staying efficient, there's only one place to find the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack? Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547.
Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show, we thank you for your incredible support. For over 16 years, EJDConstruction.com has provided South Florida residents quality craftsmanship, accurate project management, and exceptional service. That's why EJDConstruction.com is an A-rated member of Angie's List and the Better Business Bureau. When you're looking for the right custom home builder for additions or home remodeling, please call my friend Eric at 305-433-4843. That's 305-433-4843 for EJDConstruction.com.
If you're a Miami sports fan, then there's only one store to go to, and that's Caneswear at Miami Fanwear in Davie. They're your one-stop shop for all your inner Miami CS, Canes, Dolphins, Panthers, and Marlins merchandise. They have hats, t-shirts, game day jerseys, and so much more. Located at 2511 South University Drive in Davie, and open 24/7 online at Caneswear.com. Or innermiamiwear.com. Call them at 954-835-5597. Caneswear, the spot where Inner Miami and all Miami sports fans shop.
When you're ready to purchase a new home loan or refinance the one you have, American Dream Lending will make sure your loan experience is easy with fast approvals and quick closings. With many loan programs and competitive rates, now is the time to turn your dreams into reality. Ask about special financing for veterans. They never charge an application fee, and you will work directly with one of their experienced loan professionals. Stop dreaming and contact American Dream Lending today. 786-802-1727. Or online at adreamlending.com. If it's hardcore hoops you desire, make sure you subscribe to the Big O Radio Show and never miss an episode of Inside the Paint. Let's get back to the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Show with Ira Winderman and Clay Ferraro.
Welcome back. Home stretch here of Inside the Paint. And I love the Ira glasses snatch right there. I think it's like it's become a trademark of this show. Feel free to drop your questions. Last segment of the show, you guys have been great so far, and hope you guys all had a happy Thanksgiving. So we got the Bulls game coming up, Ira, and I'll say this. That's been the team I think that may have surprised me the most. Not that I didn't think that they would be good. I thought that the talent level had certainly risen, but how quickly that team has coalesced, and also the fact that they've found a role for DeMar DeRozan to go out there and look a lot like the DeMar DeRozan from his Toronto days, and the way that he's been able to implement his game and how it's all worked together really well with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's still out there, and he's doing all this with a broken thumb, right? Or broken finger. Like, I mean, what they're doing right now is incredibly impressive. So, Ira, based on what you've seen from this Bulls team, where do you think the Heat can attack them? What do you think the Heat do strategically that could give Chicago some problems? And then we'll flip that around and where the Bulls may give the Heat some problems. We'll start on that end. How can the Heat counter what we've seen from the Bulls so far this year?
Well, first of all, I think it's the same hidden ball trick that they used against Charlotte when they tried to slow and effectively to a degree did with LaMelo Ball, is they've got to keep them out of transition. They can't play that kind of game. I know the Heat like to run, and that's fine, but get back so they can't run at you. Clay, this is another schedule game. Look, we could talk about the Minnesota game and saying, hey, they arrived late from Detroit. They were on the road. They lost their legs at the end of the game. Well, tonight, Chicago has a very emotional game. They're in Orlando. And Nikola Vucevic will be back in the lineup, or at least is scheduled as we tape this right now. And that's going to be an emotional moment for them also. I think if I'm the Bulls and I'm Billy Donovan, I'm saying, look, we have this back-to-back on the road in Orlando, home against the Heat. If there's a gettable game for sure in these two, it's the Orlando game. So let's put all our everything, you know, in there, and let's make sure we win the Orlando game. Come back, pretty long trip overnight, have to face the Heat, and we'll deal with that. The Heat have to take care of these schedule games. Minnesota was lying in wait. They didn't play on Tuesday night when the Heat was in Detroit. They clearly came out with the fresher legs, and then we saw they wore the Heat down. So I think you have to play the schedule if you're the Heat. You have been off Thursday stuffing your faces at Kyle Lowry's party. Jimmy Butler's been back in his own bed. Okay, you'll sweat that off today. They're practicing in the Bulls practice facility. Then you come into the United Center on Saturday. You have to seize these moments. And if you don't, you fall to 6-7 on the road. And then the road doubts re-enter the equation. And you know what, Clay? After they get back from this 9-day trip, they play Denver. They have a home game on Monday. I believe they have Cleveland on Wednesday, and they're back out. Add Indy and Milwaukee on a back-to-back. That's going to be challenging also. You have to seize moments when the schedule favors you. So I think as much as anything the Bulls throw at him, whether it's Zach LaVine, who was, of course, traded for Jimmy Butler in the Minnesota-Chicago trade. So again, there are statements to be made. You have to take care of the moment. You have 2 days off. You have Bam gets the swelling down on that knee. You're going to get Sunday off anyway. I think it's a game that the schedule favors the Heat to a degree. I'll be curious what the line is. I guarantee it's lower than it would be in a typical situation. There are matchups there to take advantage of. Bam's quickness against Vucevic. Bam can get out and cover the jumper. The Heat should be able to put Jimmy on Zach LaVine. Kyle, okay, we'll see at his age what he does against, you know, against Lonzo Ball, who's been playing terrific. But the Heat should be in good shape if they're ready for the moment. If the Heat are looking at it as, it's the last day of a 9-day trip. It's the fourth game on the road. Can't wait to get home. If they have that kind of attitude, one, they're in trouble. But two, they're not who we thought they were in terms of their veteran mental toughness.
And this is where it gives you a little bit of confidence, the fact that they've been able to rise to the occasion in these, maybe statement game isn't right, measuring stick type games so far to this point in the season. Look what they did against Milwaukee. Look what they did against Brooklyn. Look what they did against Charlotte when everybody was talking about Charlotte. Washington, at the time that they played Washington, the first game, Washington was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Heat outclassed them in the first game there. It looked like they were going to do it in the second night in Washington until officiating happened. So
And three-pointers.
I guess the point being, like, you don't look at that and say, okay, that loss, the measuring stick game so far, the Heat have risen to the occasion. So this game is another chance. It is a measuring stick game.
Yes.
And I'm glad you mentioned Lonzo Ball. I think he's one of the better stories so far early in this NBA season. A guy who, you know, he came into the league with all this fanfare and, you know, a lot of hype, and a lot of that was because of LaVar Ball going on every talk show. And the numbers and his performance and his production didn't quite match up. So I think he was largely forgotten about. He ends up in New Orleans. The role that they've got him in Chicago now, by the way, he deserves a ton of credit for working on his shot.
Yes.
He seems to have really, he's found that footing there. I don't know that he's ever going to be the elite player that was potentially, quote unquote, worthy of being a top three pick in the NBA draft. And yet you're seeing a guy right now who can be a real difference maker on a challenging team. I know you made the distinction there between challenging and contending team before we got rolling here. So Ira, all that to say, this is a team that could pose a lot of problems. It's a team that the Heat could absolutely see down the line if they end up in one of those top four seeds and they get into the playoffs and they have home court advantage. And you're playing a Bulls team, even though they've got DeMar DeRozan, but they've got a lot of guys with young legs.
And you know what? In our typical third segment, it looks like Clay is briefly disconnected. So you know what, Clay? I'm going to answer that point and those 3 points you made right there. First of all, when I look at Lonzo Ball, I look at someone who reminds me a little bit, and Lonzo Ball reminding me of Jason Kidd and how he grew as a player. That at first he was a quick player who was able to get to the cup, didn't have to shoot, and then all of a sudden Lonzo Ball came around like Jason Kidd and realized the three-pointer or the outside shot has to be part of it. That's number one. It's a team asking Lonzo, I think, to be something different than he was. Chicago's letting him be himself. The point about Heat toughness in this moment, they've had three back-to-backs closing on the road this season. They went into Memphis after the home win in Charlotte, played very well, won without Bam. That's a good sign. They played the Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back at Staples Center after losing to the Lakers. They were up 17. They collapsed. And then the game in Minnesota. Can they go to school on those last two games? And here's another sort of interesting element about Heat Bulls when it comes to the teams playing Saturday at the United Center. Clay, this is the Tampa Bowl. These are two teams
under investigation
by the NBA because of the timing of their prime free agent signings. The Bulls with Lonzo Ball, the Heat with Kyle Lowry. This case is still ongoing. Both of these teams could lose first-round picks. Maybe this season's first-round picks. So they're a little bit on pins and needles. Both of these teams might lose an asset to the degree that they better have enough right now. So based on how the Bulls handled free agency, based on how the Heat handled free agency, even though the game is an 8 p.m. tip, maybe this team start the game at 7:45 since they're going to just jump the gun again.
You've been saving that joke, man. You've had that.
I said as soon as Clay disappears from the screen, I'm going to go with the A-list stuff. So we're there. So
okay. So that's the game I'm most interested in. Like, I know the game coming up on Monday night is the one that's juicier.
Oh, I'm plenty interested in that. Don't kid yourself. Yeah, I'm Clay. I am plenty interested in that game. And again, as you freeze over there on that side of the screen, I still think when you look right now at the Denver game, though, and as much as you might say, hey, it's different teams, a different time, you know, Markieff might not even wind up playing in that game. I still think when you look at the situation there and you're looking at what Denver might or might not have going with Nikola Jokic playing, he's had some injuries. It'll be a nice emotional night. Look, this is what Heat history is about. This goes back to the Knicks series and all those games also, and the way they've played against New York. So I think when you look at it, this is what Heat fans live for, is these moments of contentiousness. So, you know, will middle finger lady show up? The one when Joakim Noah was walked off the court in that Bulls series. You know, the Heat have had a way of handling these moments. I can tell you this, and I've been told this, security will be on high alert because – the Jokic brothers might be in the crowd. I think it's going to be a really fun night.
I know the Jokic brothers are awfully intimidating. Udonis Haslam's got a lot of family members in South Florida too.
Okay, fair.
I think you could have
and some Rottweilers at his Southwest Branch's estate if he has to bring. Exactly.
Yeah, like that. The Heat have their dogs in the kennel. Udonis Haslam has his actual dogs
in the kennel.
He could have ready to roll in that game. But the emotion of that game, and to me, I am expecting the Heat to come out energized and be the tougher, more physical team in that. But you can envision a world where we're sitting here talking about that bad loss to Minnesota. But you can envision a world where if they go out there and they win this measuring stick game coming up against the Bulls, and then find a way to come out and get some get back against Denver and get a little bit of revenge and beat one of the better teams in the Western Conference. You can be talking about a scenario where we're feeling a whole lot differently about this team coming up.
Yes.
And by we, I mean the general we. I don't think you and I are overreacting to any of this stuff. I think we're trying to figure out, okay, what went wrong in Minnesota?
It's social media. Social media always is going to live in the moment. Matter of fact, social media is living in the moment in real time. So as the game is going up and down in Minnesota, they're reacting accordingly. Also, you know, we come from a football environment down here. Football's still king. So there's only 17 games, in the NFL. There's 12 games in college. Every game means that much more. Like we've stated through this show on the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint, the Heat are at the quarter pole. This is when you're figuring and getting an idea where you are. Most people will say standing-wise, if you're in good shape at the quarter pole, you're going to be in good shape in the final standings. They're in good shape. They're tied for second place in their conference. They've just been very uneven over the last two or so weeks. So you want to regain a degree of stability. Again, the Markieff Morris absence, don't downplay that. The Bam Adebayo knee, don't downplay that. Everyone is going through stuff. And Clay, what the Heat haven't had yet, and unfortunately looks like every team is going to deal with it, is that one COVID absence.
Yeah,
when you have Nikola Vucevic, who's missed 2 weeks. When you're at Chris Middleton, who's missed 2 weeks. When you have Nicholas Batum, who is now out. Joel Embiid, same situation. So when you have these situations, you have to sort of build equity for it. So Saturday in Chicago, equity game. Bulls on the second night of a back-to-back. Monday against Denver, equity game. Getting some revenge. You need to keep building the equity because Heat fans, if you thought this was tough times is when the Heat issue a release and includes the term health and safety protocols. Because that's when you might lose someone also. You've got to keep building your equity early.
So, Ira, we're getting a lot of questions in the chat about Duncan Robinson. What are you seeing from him? And, you know, he had the game in Utah where you felt like, okay, maybe this is the breakout game. Maybe this is it. And, you know, I'd say over the last, I don't know, week and a half, it's been slightly better. And yet it's not the Duncan Robinson that I think we'd gotten accustomed to seeing, you know, both in the bubble and then last year, even with the ups and the downs. Feels like there's been more downs this year than ups. What are you seeing with him? Is it something to be concerned about at this quarter pole of the season?
I don't know necessarily, Clay, if it's the lack of three-point accuracy that's impacting him, but to me it's more that it goes beyond the three-point shooting. I think it's the foul trouble again, the early fouls. I think it's defensively being set up by the opposition. You and I have spoken about this. The NBA now is a pick and roll switch everything league where all of a sudden Duncan is getting stuck in really bad situations. We saw at the end of the game in Washington, they put Tyler Hero in the blender on every pick and roll. I'm not so sure, but I think almost every Washington basket at the end of that game was while Tyler Hero is the primary defender. That's what's happened with Duncan Robinson. I think they need to find a way that opponents can't as easily seek out the defensive matchup against Duncan Robinson, maybe not switch so much, maybe come up with different defensive schemes. But to me, if you're asking me, Ira, what are the Duncan Robinson concerns? The three-point percentage is not at the top of the line. To me, it's offensively things other than the shooting. I think he's been a little bit off. And to me, defensively, the foul trouble, he's made himself somewhat again, and he had gotten away from this as a liability. So I think it's more the complete game. He's still among the NBA leaders in three-pointers made this season. He's still a factor on the court. Other teams are still defending him with a precision eye toward him. But it's the other stuff. It's the nuanced stuff that he can't let go, seemingly like's been the case at the start of the season.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Duncan, and you could say this about a lot of shooters, so much of this is mental. And I think with Duncan, and I think he's talked about imposter syndrome before, and feel free to Google him in imposter syndrome where, you know, he can kind of get his take on it. But a lot of this is, you know, if you're in a situation where I think you're potentially a detriment to the team and that you're out there because, you know, they're finding you defensively and they're taking advantage of the fact that you're on the floor, and then you can't make up for it on the offensive end of the floor by making every three-pointer that you have. I think it kind of starts to manifest itself, and it builds on itself in a way where you're starting to doubt yourself and whether the team would be better off without you if you're not on the floor. And again, I'm not trying to play amateur psychologist. I am trying to say that there is a level of mental involved in shooting. And when your primary role is that of a shooter, that it's a lot like, I mean, I grew up watching the Yankees and remember Chuck Knobloch. And when Chuck Knobloch couldn't throw the ball to first base, you know, for a while, and then all of a sudden you got to bench him. I mean, there are mental things involved in shooting more so than any, because if just one little thing is off in your mechanics, the shot's going to miss. And with Duncan, I think if you're overthinking things, it just kind of manifests itself and gets worse and worse. So with all that said, it can go the other way really quickly too. If you start to knock down some shots, you can start to feel a lot better about yourself. And so I'm not to the level where I'm concerned that it's going to railroad their chances of winning the East. I'm not at that point, but I would feel a lot better for him, and I feel a lot better for the team if they go out there and he could start going out there and being the Duncan Robinson that we're used to seeing.
I agree. So, and with that, we end a doom and gloom show, but you know what, Clay? We will have so much more of a read when we meet again next Wednesday at our regular time, because we'll know what happened in the Chicago game. We'll know if anyone survived the Nuggets game, and then be looking ahead to a game against Cleveland, maybe more winnable. So I think our next show will give us more of a read, maybe more optimistic. But hey, if you wanted your Black Friday show, you certainly got it this week.
Yeah,
you're listening to the Pallet Rack City.
Go ahead and shop for your body armor for Monday, Ira. You're going to be good to go. That's it. That's a
Black Friday special. It's going to be interesting. So I know we're encroaching on Big O's time, but you know what, Clay? Much better read the next time we talk next time.
Have a good Thanksgiving
Catch
weekend,
you next
guys.
Week.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Thanks, everyone.